Today's reading is from the books of Psalms and Jeremiah. But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So Jesse was talking about getting, you know, to hear experiences of people in other churches and their experiences. And growing up, I've experienced lots of different kind of churches and things. One of those being, I don't know if anybody been to Charismatic or Pentecostal church before. Maybe. It's a little bit different than ours, right? Just a little bit. My first experience was when I was in high school. One of my friends invited me to his church. They were having a midweek worship service. He said, hey, come with me. I was like, all right, fine, sure. So we go and we get there, and pretty quickly I recognized that this was a lot different than my church. It sort of kind of freaked me out just a little bit, because there were people, they were kind of jumping around a little bit. There was a lot of hand raising, speaking in ways that I couldn't understand. So it was all kinds of stuff happening in that worship service. So it's a little bit different. It was a little bit different. Now, let me just say, all right, I want to be really clear on this. I'm not making fun of our Pentecostal or charismatic brothers and sisters, okay, at all. It was just, it's a different experience, okay? It was a different experience for me, at least for me, because I grew up as a United Methodist, had a little bit of Quakerism thrown in. So we were probably about as far away from a charismatic kind of Pentecostal church that you can imagine. Because if anybody had raised their hands in worship on a Sunday morning, we would think they would be asking a question and not praising God. So, yeah, it was just a little bit, I was just a little freaked out by that experience. Now, at the end of that service, though, the preacher, they had an altar call. So the preacher said something like, yeah, if you don't know the Lord, or like to give your life to the Lord, or recommit your life to the Lord, you're invited to come down front. Now, my friend that I had gone with, he said, hey, let's go. And I'm like, yeah, let's get out of here. And so, you know, he gets, but instead of turning to the right, head out to the back, you know, out of the back of the sanctuary there, he goes to the left, heading down front. And I'm like, I thought we were going out the back, but okay, you know, maybe we're going a different way. So we get down, and all of a sudden, here we are. I'm down in front. All these other people were down in front of the church there. And it would just so happen that the pastor came to me first. The preacher there came to me first, and he asked you to do you something, I can't remember exactly, something about, you know, do the love of the Lord, do you want to commit your life to the Lord? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so, I'm here. And so he said, he said, raise your hands. And so I raised my hands, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And he hit my hands. And he hit my hands so hard that I thought I was going to fall down. Well, but I didn't. But the pastor, that was the expectation, though. Right? And so I didn't go down. So he kind of said, raise your hands again. Remember, I'm the first person he came to. So I raised my hands again, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he just wants a high five. And so when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, I gave him a high five. And he almost fell down. And he just kind of gave me that look like, you really need deliverance. And then he moved on to the next person. And he moved on down. And I noticed everybody else, when he said and he hit their hands, they all kind of fell backwards. And I was thinking, so what am I missing? What am I not feeling? What am I missing here? You know, and because it was a very different experience for me. Now, again, I'm not making fun of the pastor or that worship service or that church at all. So make sure we hear that. Okay? But it did leave me wondering, hey, why didn't I feel what they felt? Right? Why didn't I feel what they felt? I mean, should I have felt something? And I think sometimes we believe that for God to be real, for God to be present, we should be feeling something, right? And when we don't, then either God's not present or maybe God's not real. I mean, people talk about, maybe you have and you've heard people talk about being filled with the Spirit. They feel this, right? Or people, when they describe a time when they felt God's presence, that, you know, tears came to their eyes. Or they got all tingly and, you know, kind of goosebumps or things like that. Now, you can feel all of those things, you know, when you feel God's presence. All right, you can feel all those things. Right? But I can also, you know this as well as I do, you can cry when you're cutting onions, right? Yeah? You can get all tingly and goosebumps. Bumps. You remember when you're sitting beside your girlfriend, you know, when you're growing up and you're sitting beside your girlfriend or your boyfriend and you felt all those, did you get all tingly inside just a little bit sometimes? So you can feel that when you do that. you can feel all warm. You know, you can feel all warm inside. Some people say, yo, I felt all warm inside when I felt God's presence. And like, well, I felt all warm inside. You can feel all warm inside when you pee in the pool. Not that I've ever done that, but it happens, right? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I know what he's talking about. So the thing is, you know, a lot of times we equate God's presence with a feeling, right? With a feeling. And the thing is, yeah, we can feel things, but not always, right? I mean, if we're not feeling the goosebumps, we're not all warm, or we're not crying, or if we're not falling backwards when the preacher touches our hands, does that mean God's not present? I mean, we can do like lots of churchy things. We can be in worship. We can sing. We can pray. But that doesn't mean that we always feel God's presence. And I share that because I think it's another kind of twisted little bit of understanding of God and how we experience God. And that's what this series has been about, looking at these maybe kind of twisted understandings of how we understand God, who God really is. And I think equating presence and feeling is another one of those. I mean, we can feel God's absence very real. In the hospital room, the machines are beeping and, you know, and we things are quiet and we want God to speak, but we don't feel that. Or maybe when the house is all quiet and we can't sleep and we just, things are swirling around in our heads and we're looking for maybe to feel something, to feel God, and it's just silent. We can feel the absence of God in our grief. You know, it's months or it's weeks or months after our loved one has passed. And, you know, the casseroles are gone and people have stopped asking us how are we doing. And they just, you know, it's just, hey, we're supposed to be normal. Everything should be good again. And yet we don't feel God in those moments. Now, does that mean God has stepped away from us because we don't feel God? Or is it just us being human? And I think the latter. As we heard a moment ago in Psalm 88, the psalmist says, "But God, I cry to you for help. Lord, in the morning my prayer goes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" And so here's the psalmist just being real and being honest and saying, "I don't feel your presence, Lord. Where are you?" Jesus didn't always feel God's presence, right? On the cross, we see his divinity and his humanity both fully on display. And in the midst of that, what is one of the things that Jesus prays? "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And so even for a moment, Jesus himself didn't feel God's presence. Does that mean God wasn't there? I mean, in my own life, you know, there are going through seasons where I didn't always feel God's presence. I can remember in my office one morning reading some scripture. I got my milk in hand because I don't drink coffee, but I have my milk with me always. My milk in hand, and I'm praying and all that. And it's like, you know what? I just don't feel. You know, where is God? I don't feel anything. But here, I'm glad. Shouldn't I be feeling something? And what I'm learning, and still learning, is that presence and feeling is not one and the same. Right? It's not that God had moved, it's just my expectation was off. My expectation had become twisted because I was equating presence with a feeling. Now, feelings are very important, of course. I mean, we live in a culture that values feelings, right? I mean, if you can feel it, it must be real, right? If you don't, then it must not be. But here's the thing. Feelings are not always reliable indicators of reality. When you think about it, I mean, you can be loved and maybe not feel it, right? You can be safe and not feel it. You can be held by God and still not feel it, or maybe even feel alone. Thinking about it, it's kind of, think about, you know, so today's cloudy, right? You go outside, it's kind of gray and gloomy, right? We keep hoping for the snow that's not going to come, just so you can just lower some expectations a little bit. Now, it's cloudy and gloomy and gray outside, but the sun is still there, isn't it? We can't see it. Maybe we can't feel the warmth today, but the sun is still there, isn't it? Yeah. We may not feel God, but it doesn't mean God's not there. That's why the words from spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, I think, are important. Because God's speaking through Jeremiah and saying, hey, then when you call on me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Now, when God spoke these words to the prophet Jeremiah, understand, the Israelites, many of them were in captivity. They were in exile. They were in Babylon. Babylon had come and conquered the kingdom of Judah. Had destroyed the city of Jerusalem, had taken many back to Babylon, even the king. And so it was a time when people felt that God was silent, that God was absent, that God had forgotten them. And yet God said, hey, it's not that you're always going to feel me, but you will find me. Because the promise isn't a feeling, it's not a sensation, okay? I mean, Wi-Fi, we got Wi-Fi in here. Do you see it? But it's there, right? That's why we don't anchor our faith in feelings. We anchor our faith in the promises of God. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, the psalmist writes. Not when you feel it. Not when you're maybe strong, but when you're broken, it says God is near. God promises his presence when the path is hard. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Not if you pass through, but when you pass through. Where will I be? I will be with you. God promises us steadfastness, even when our emotions fluctuate. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Even though our feelings, they rise and fall, right? But the promise is God never ceases. God's promises us faithfulness, even when maybe our faith wavers. It says, if we are faithless, he, meaning God, remains faithful. Even if our confidence wavers, our faith grows thin, God's doesn't. Right? God promises us, as Jeremiah reminds us, availability, not invisibility. Right? I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And we may not always feel God, but we'll always be able to find God. That's the promise. So what do we do when we find ourselves in these seasons when we don't feel that presence? Well, I think we pray honestly. We're honest with God. We're not praying to impress God. We're just being honest. Honest. God can take our frustrations, our confusion, our anger. I mean, the psalmist is a great example. I mean, the psalmist is being real with God. It feels like you're hiding from me. Where are you? I don't feel you. And so it's just being honest with God. God, I don't feel you. I don't know what to do with that. So pray honestly. We keep showing up even when it feels flat. Because faith is not always exciting. It's not always warm and fuzzy feelings, or we don't always feel like about raising our hands or all those kinds of things. But we keep showing up. We keep worshiping. We keep reading the scriptures. We keep our prayers. Because what does that do? That builds the relationship, right? Relationship helps us better understand the presence. We borrow faith from others. We borrow faith from our meaning. This is why it's so important to stay connected to a community of faith. Because there are times when you can probably relate to this or can point to this in your own life when, you know what, we feel sort of disconnected from God. We feel God's absence or whatever. So we borrow the faith from others, right? When our faith is too thin, we lean upon those around us. That's why God gave us a church. We don't feel like singing, we let others sing for us. We ask others to pray for us. We borrow the faith of others. We lean upon that community when we're going through one of these seasons. And in doing so, we trust God's promises rather than just the perceptions. Now, what we feel is real. Okay, it's valid. I'm not invalidating what we feel. Okay? But it's not the final word. Because faith often means choosing to trust the promises of God rather than what we might be feeling in the moment. So we trust God's promises. We pay attention to the small signs of grace. Because God doesn't always announce God's presence with trumpets or kingly feelings or whatever it might be. Sometimes it's in the smallest of things that we are reminded of God's presence. It might be, you know, a word that a friend speaks to us at just the right time, or a scripture that jumps out of us, out to us. It might be a moment of peace that just sort of surprises us in the midst of some chaos. God announces God's presence, sometimes in the smallest of things. So we pay attention to the small signs of grace. See, that's what we anchor ourselves to, not to the feelings, but to the promises. Seek and you will find me, for I will be found by you. That's the promise. Not that you're always going to feel me, God says, but if you're looking for, you will find me because I am here. All right. Just like the sun might be behind the clouds, or might like the Wi-Fi, I mean, you might not be able to see me. But I'm still here. And so hear this. When God feels distant or absent or silent, you're not alone in that because many feel the same that have gone before. Jesus even felt that. And so it doesn't mean that our faith is broken or that we've been abandoned or that God's not near. Or God promises. When you seek me, you will find me. And so we build our faith, not on the twisted understanding, but on the promise and trusting those promises. I will be found by you, says God. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this day just as we are. Sometimes our faith feels strong. Other times it feels weak and thin. And for the times where we feel close to you, O Lord, we give you thanks. For the times that we feel distant, that you are silent, remind us, O Lord, that you are near. Teach us to trust your promises, to trust those rather than our emotions, than our feelings. So help us, remind us to keep praying when the answers don't come quickly. Give us the courage to show up, to be honest, to lean on one another when we find ourselves in one of those seasons where you wonder where you are. Continue to remind us, O Lord, that your love never wavers, that your presence, it doesn't disappear, and your faithfulness to us doesn't depend on our faith in you or even how we feel, O Lord. For you meet us wherever we are, in our waiting, in our uncertainty, and our faithfulness. You can be found. So let us hold on to those promises, O Lord, and trust in you always. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.